And this is a scriptural principle which goes against this feeling that, or this lie that what you need is somewhere else. It's something I don't have. If you believe that the key to your miracle is beyond your reach, you're paralyzed.
Welcome to the Wealth Builders Podcast. I'm so grateful that you chose to tune in today, and you are going to be so glad that you took time to listen and watch this today because we have Greg Fritz back with us.
It's good to be back.
We're so glad to have you. Well, I was telling Greg, him and Mike Davis, they are so organized. You know, they're pastors, so they bring their iPad. He's got all the points set, and he is such a blessing. And I'll tell you the topic, Greg, that you're going to talk about today, I think is so needed, especially with the times that we are in. And it is about getting your vision back. So share with people what we're going to be talking about today.
Well, this kind of leads, connects with our last podcast.
Yes.
And that was the first one I've done on Wealth Builders. And you were so gracious to invite me, but I didn't know what to expect. So it was painless.
It was good.
It was such a great experience. I thought, wow, that was easy. So I'm here again in Colorado Springs doing other things, yes. And I had some time, and this really worked out well for me.
Oh, I'm so glad that you joined. And if you didn't watch his first podcast with us, please go back and watch it and listen to it. It was amazing. And I think the follow-up with this, Greg, you know we need a vision. We want to hear from God. But it's sort of like, what next?
Yeah, yeah, and that's the other podcast was Get Your Vision Back. Since that time, I've written a booklet that includes that teaching, as well as the teaching we're going to do today, and we're offering it free to the viewers. We'll put it on the screen; they can download it as an electronic ebook.
Oh, that's great.
So, but this teaching really, I've been doing it a lot in ministers' meetings and the like, because it's so important to run with purpose and vision.
It is.
So as we get our vision back, the next question, which you kind of ended the last podcast on, was, what do we do now?
Yes.
And so this teaching is designed to answer that question.
It's great.
To get out of the rut. Maybe people are stuck and they're ready to move forward. They don't even know where to start.
I think we've all been there at times.
Yeah, and it's easy to look beyond yourself and say, somebody needs to help me. Can somebody do something for me? And anytime we put our confidence in someone else, we're going to probably be disappointed. So these steps are something, are things that we can do ourselves that get us moving and give God something to work with.
Oh, this is going to be so good.
Yeah.
Greg.
So point number one is use what you have. And this is a scriptural principle which goes against this feeling that, or this lie that what you need is somewhere else. It's something I don't have. If you believe that the key to your miracle is beyond your reach, you're paralyzed. So we can see in Scripture where God used what people had, not what they didn't have, and works in conjunction with people. Mm-hmm. So this goes against the idea that we can just sit back and say, God, solve my problems. Come and, and make my life better. But we are really required to use what we have. And one of the greatest examples of this is the widow who went to Elisha and said, my husband died. We're in deep debt, and they're going to come take my sons as slaves. Mm-hmm. And Elisha, this is 2 Kings 4, and Elisha said, Here she was telling him what she didn't have. Isn't that the tendency?
That's such the tendency.
I don't have any money. I don't have a job. I don't have a house. I don't have a wife. I don't have a husband. I don't have... It's so easy to focus on what we don't have.
It is.
And the first thing he... And that's what she was telling him. I don't have any money. And he said, what do you have? Isn't that a great question?
That is a great question.
What do you have?
We can ask ourselves that now going forward.
Exactly, because everybody has something.
So true.
Everybody has something. And God would not require the key to your miracle to be something that's beyond your ability to touch, reach, or give, or do. He won't.
That's
he's a
true.
Just God. However, he's not going to do things without our cooperation. That's just how he's chosen to work.
That is so insightful.
So the first thing that he said was, what do you have in your house? And she said, nothing. Except, there was something.
There was.
She undervalued it, but there was something. She said, except a jar of oil. He said, that'll work. And it's not because oil is some kind of magical ingredient.
Yeah.
It's because it's what she had. God
wow.
will use what you have to get you where you need to be. So she, you know the story. Now she mm-hmm. filled the house with empty vessels and poured that jar of oil, and it filled all the empty vessels. And then she sold the oil and she paid her debt.
Amazing.
So it was something that she was able to do that she was required to do.
Yeah.
God could have just said, you know what? I'm just going to have you strike oil in your front yard. You don't have to do anything. But how many times has God worked with us where we don't do anything? We just sit back and everyone else.
Yeah.
And it just... doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way, but somehow we think that he's going to pour something on our head. You know, that is really interesting. The way you described it, I hadn't really looked at that story that way, that he was just like, well, what do you have?
Yeah.
And she did cooperate, because when she called him, I mean, I know they didn't have phone, or when she reached out to him, she just wanted relief.
She needed to solve a problem.
Yes.
And the problem was so big in her eyes that she was... she undervalued what she had.
That's so
left.
Good.
And God valued it. Another example, when Moses had gotten the command at the burning bush to go, you know, think about this, go tell Pharaoh, let 3 million slaves go.
That's a pretty big ask.
Are you going to pay for it? No, just tell him to let him go. And so Moses is looking, is probably, his wheels are turning. He goes, what if he asked me, why? What if he asked me who sent me? What do I do next? You know what God said next? It's so amazing. He said, what do you have in your hand?
Same thing.
And he goes, a stick. It's not very impressive. You know, he probably found it somewhere and he used it to get up the mountain trails. It's a stick. But isn't that interesting?
That is so interesting.
That's what God said. What do you have in your hand? And that's the theme. And that's what I would tell the viewers. What do you have? Mm-hmm. What do you have in your hand? If you're not using what you have, you may be required to put that into motion before you get the next step.
That is so good. Because in that, especially if we're in a state where maybe we're frustrated, things aren't going well, it's not like we're exactly motivated in that mental state to do something.
No.
But it's really interesting how you have just brought out that is a real key to moving in. So it's like cooperating with God. It's like, okay, I'm going to do something to cooperate with you, God.
Yes. And another example, which is Samson. And I won't take time to read through it, but all this is in the booklet and they can download that. And
good
I hope
deal.
They do, because, man, these booklets, since I was here last, I've put together 14 booklets.
Oh, my goodness,
and
Craig.
It's some of my best revelations. I say it's about the best presentation that I'm capable of.
That's so good.
You do kind of peak at a certain point. I can't do much better than that. So it may be elementary to some people, certainly not literary masterpiece, but it does communicate these truths. But when Samson faced 1,000 Philistines, he was surrounded by Philistines who were going to kill him. And it says he reached out his hand and took a donkey's jawbone.
That's right.
And he slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey, which is not easy to say. But he slew them. And it's not because donkey jawbones are some kind of secret weapon.
Right.
It was within his reach.
That's so good.
It's like God saying, whatever you have, I'll use to get you to the next level, to get you through, to get you to your breakthrough. And so I just want to encourage people, look at what you have. It may be a contact, a relationship.
Yeah.
I can remember one time I was in Bible school and I needed a job, and I'd gone one place after another. I couldn't find a job, and I just sat down on the bed and I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
And this thought came up, well, just go down the street to this, there's just one store. And I thought, it was a Christian bookstore. I said, this is a Bible school. There's 2,000 students here, and it's within a half a mile. I'm sure there's a line a mile long applying for the only Christian bookstore in the area. And I thought, I tried to talk. But you know what? I finally did it, and I got that job.
Oh, my goodness.
It was right there all the time, but I undervalued what I did have.
Yes, that's
so good. And focused
on
what I didn't have or what I couldn't do. So anyway, it's a very important principle. One more example. Do we have time for
one? Yeah, we do.
Because we got more points.
I know, but this is super helpful.
In this one, the disciples and Jesus, I love this. I did a whole teaching on a day in the life of God. Ooh. When Jesus took the disciples apart to get some rest, and the people found him and showed up. And
yes.
Jesus didn't turn them away. He did miracles and taught them all day long. And then at the end of the day, they were all hungry. And the disciples came and said, Jesus, this was not planned. We're out in the middle of nowhere. Send the people away. They were trying to get rid of the problem. Isn't that the natural tendency?
It is.
We don't have anything to feed them. Get rid of them.
Yes.
And Jesus said, again, what do you have?
He did.
Didn't he? So I'll read this out of Mark chapter 6, verse 38. When he said to them in verse 38, how many loaves do you have? They had just told him how little they had, how big the problem was. They had tried to send the problem away, send him home. And he said, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And they said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And what is that? What is that?
Such a need.
Among so many, and we all feel that way.
We do.
I mean, you could take anyone you want, and they've had times, no matter how successful a person is, where they look at the world around them and they think, what does this amount to among so much and so many? And so the problems are so big or so many or so expensive. And God's just looking to make an example out of people.
That is so good. I think that we can get so in our own world that we just can't see a pathway through. But you just gave us many great examples in the Bible. So this is good. I'm really learning from this, Greg. So that was just one point.
Right. And I'll wrap that point up by saying, You have to look at and see, what you can do as far as relationships, money, contacts, what unction is in your heart right now? What is your heart saying? Your head may try to argue it, you out of it, but what is your heart saying? And just start with that. The answer is within your reach. Then step number 2, and I know this is simple, but there are principles here that work for anyone, is do what you can. So use what you have. You have something, and then do what you can.
That's really good.
And again, people get limited by being focused on what they can't. Mm-hmm. Or I lead into this point by giving them a lie that's on the opposite end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And we've all heard this. Americans are big on this one. You can be anything you want to be. And the truth is, you can't.
Oh.
There are certain things that you just can't be. If you're 40 years old and a man and bald and overweight, you will never be an Olympic gymnast.
This is true.
And you can say, but I want it with all my heart. My motives are pure. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. You just can't do that. Here's the truth. You can be whatever God wants you to be. whatever God's okay. called you to be. And so, and I bring that up, and I exaggerated, but I find there are some people that are trying to do things they're just not equipped to do. They're not qualified okay. to do. They're not anointed to do. And it's so important to do what you can do, mm-hmm. to do what you're called to do.
It's really good, Greg.
And there are gifts and talents that people have. And we've all been to church services where somebody got up and sang a special.
Yes.
And it wasn't special. Because they couldn't sing. Have you ever been in
yes.
those? I did meetings for years in little churches, and man, I heard some people, and I was like, everyone in this building knows that you can't sing. Why do we go through? So there are things that you know what? I don't want to waste my life trying to do things that I can't do, I'm not good at,
yeah.
I'm not called to. So that's one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum is people who just think, I can't do anything. Well, that's not true either.
Very true.
And that'll keep you limited. If you feel sorry for yourself, if you've had some bad experiences, some failures in life, you might feel like you can't do anything, but that's just not true. There are things that everyone can do, that everyone, it doesn't have to be, you know, spectacular.
Right.
You don't have to do something that's going to make everybody stand up and applaud. But there are times in life where you got to do something.
It's good.
Doing
really
something's
good.
Better than doing nothing. So the example, one of the great examples in the Bible is the four lepers.
Yes.
They were sitting outside the city of Samaria, and it was surrounded by, it was under siege. And they had no food. People were killing each other, eating each other. It was very desperate. And so these four lepers couldn't even go in the city. They couldn't go anywhere else because they were surrounded. And so they came to a conclusion, which, you know, at some point we all need to get there. And they said, why sit we here till we die? In other words, doing nothing is not working.
That's a great point.
It's just not working. And so they said, well, what are our options? We can sit here. We've decided doing nothing is not going to work. We could go in the city, but that's not really any better than sitting here. Mm-hmm. Or we can just walk over there and see if they'll give us some food. And if they kill us, we were going to die anyway. What do we have to lose?
It's actually very logical.
It is.
Know?
But, it's so much better than choosing to just sit there and give up.
So
and that's
good.
What we want to guard against. I just want to encourage mm-hmm. people today that if you have breath in your body and you're alive today and you love God, there's a future for you. You don't have to give up. You don't have to undervalue who you are, what you have. Mm-hmm. God can take anything that's in your under your control and use it to help you get to the next place, to the next level of your life. Mm-hmm. And so don't buy into these lies that it doesn't matter what you do, that nobody cares, and that you can't really do anything anyway, so what yeah. difference does it make? So those four lepers got up, and you know the story, that all they did was walk toward the enemy, and God used that to frighten the enemy. It really was an amazing miracle, because the whole army thought that they were being attacked by a superior force that they couldn't defend themselves against. They literally got up and ran and left all their belongings.
Oh my goodness.
These four lepers came into the camp, and there's like one tent after another full of food, clothes, riches, jewels, and they were rich.
That.
And all they did was do what they could.
That is so good, Greg.
It wasn't much. I
think about that like in a practical way too, you know, where we might look at, let's just say exercise, like, oh my gosh, I want to run a marathon, but we won't get off the couch till they get on the treadmill
right.
for 5 minutes, right?
Exactly. I would die for you. I just need you to help me in the kitchen. Oh no, not that.
Yeah.
No, I'd rather die for you. No, it's true.
It's good.
You got people trying to save the world and they can't even take care of their home.
Yeah.
So,
or make their bed in the morning, right?
So yeah, all those things matter. And so anyway,
it's really good.
Use what you have. One more example, and then we'll go to the last point.
Okay.
But it's the example of the talents. There was a guy with five talents, one with
yeah.
two, and one with one. So the guy with one talent said, I'm just going to hold on to it, hide it, so that when the master comes back, I can give it to him. And that was not what the master was looking for. And this is the same principle in reverse. This guy didn't use what he had. God didn't expect him to measure up to the five-talent guy or the two-talent guy, but he expected him to do something with what he had. And so his comment was, you could have at least, and that's really, I mean, we're really talking about just doing the least, just do something. He said you could have put it in the bank and gotten interest, but he didn't even do that. He didn't even want to leave his house. He just buried it. So that principle is very real, and what you're doing is you're giving God something to work with.
So good.
He can't multiply loaves and fishes if you don't give him loaves and fishes. He could have fed those people without loaves and fishes.
Yeah.
He could have. He could have just done it on his own and said, hey, everybody sit down and watch me do this. But he really wants participation.
So good.
He's chosen to live life with us, not for us. So God wants to cooperate with people. And so many times, and you've heard this, it's a cliche, but we're waiting on God and he's waiting on us.
That is so good.
So it's very important to use what you have. When I started traveling 30-something years ago, man, I was so unknown. I'm still unknown, but I was really obscure at the time. I'd been a youth pastor, and I knew it was time to start traveling. Well, if I had looked at all the churches that wouldn't have me, didn't know me, didn't want me, I could have really gotten discouraged.
Yeah, that's true.
But in the course of my short time in ministry, I'd had about 3 pastors tell me in passing, hey, if you ever get free and want to come preach at my church, let me know. Just 3. Now, you need 52 every year to fill up a calendar. And I didn't have 52, but I had 3.
And so you just were encouraged by that? You chose to be encouraged
and thankful? I started with 3. I just used that. I called all 3, and they all 3 had me.
That's so
and
great.
And then they all 3 called someone else, and they had me. And so, you know, it most of the time, the people who are successful today doing what they do probably did it in a very small measure in a very obscure place before anyone ever knew about them.
They were faithful in the little.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's
they
really
simply
key.
Used what they had. They just followed that. People ask me all the time, how do I get into ministry? How do I, you know, get beyond? And I said, well, just start right where you are. Just if you're a preacher, I relate everything to ministry. And I know there's a lot of business people watching. You'll have to translate this into your world. But if you're a person that's in Bible school and you want to have a ministry, start preaching to kids, children, youth,
absolutely,
nursing homes, prisons, anywhere they'll let you in. Mm-hmm. And use your gift. Use what you have.
Yeah.
And even knowledge is the same way. When I started preaching at 16, and I started doing children's church. And so I was very young. I'd just been filled with the Spirit. I didn't know that much. And so the pastor asked me if I'd do it, so I did. I thought it was going to be a 1 week. So I literally preached everything I knew that first Sunday. Everything I knew I preached. And he said, well, can you do it next week? And I thought, I don't know.
I'd have to come up with content,
so
right?
I prayed all week and I got another message. And I preached that.
Yes.
And then, you know, that was 40 years ago more.
That's amazing. More.
And it just builds that way. You got to use what you have.
That's so good. I taught children's ministry too for over 10 years in the inner city.
Wow.
And that is a great place to start because you can kind of formulate your concepts in a way. You know what I'm saying?
And no one's hurt. No
yeah,
one's injured.
You're good. We're good. But also, I think there is a key in that, Greg, in that in children's ministry, it's not like these children are like giving you a lot of attention. Do you know what I'm saying? They're just there.
Oh, yeah.
So it's sort of like when we start with things that we don't have people's attention. We're not being promoted out in front of people, but it's just kind of that opportunity where you're faithful in little between you and the Lord. I think that is such an important seed that we start with.
Is. You know, I'll relate this story. Many years ago, I was doing a meeting in an inner city church, an urban setting, and it was to Teen Challenge young men primarily, but it was a church, so there was some outside people, but primarily it was inner city people. And the pastor told me, we need to raise $1 million to build a building, and so I want you to preach this in this camp meeting. And so I preached on the woman who you know, with the jar of oil. What do you have in your house? And so I just preached to those inner city people. I said, you know what? You may not have $1 million, but what do you have? What can we do tonight? How can we help meet this need and do something? I thought it was a fairly good message. And then we had the offering. And those inner city people, just a few hundred of them, gave $1,500.
Wow.
It was a miracle offering. And I was so touched. The pastor came to me after that, with tears in his eyes. He said, "You'll never believe what happened." I said, "What?" He said, "You don't know this, but in the audience, there was this multimillionaire who had just sold his company, and it was on the New York Stock Exchange. It was that big.
Wow.
He heard that message, and even though we only gave $1,500, he gave us an additional $1.2 million, and they built that building with cash.
Oh.
Isn't that cool?
Craig, that's amazing.
So it really does work. You just do what you can, and then God will do what you can.
That feels peaceful.
Yeah.
Instead of like having to work to get everything done, it's just like, okay, I'll do what I can and then rest.
Yeah, rest, exactly. It's hard to rest when you're not doing what you should be doing. There's a knowing.
Yes.
And that's what this is designed for. It's for people that are ready to get on with their life.
So
they
good.
Don't know where to start. And I do have a third point.
Okay,
it's easy and quick.
Third
so
one?
It's do what you can, use what you have, start where you are.
Oh,
start right
amazing.
Where you are. If you're under this impression that I just need to move somewhere else, I just need to go, my success, my, you know, breakthrough is somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's another lie that can hinder
so
people.
Good.
'Cause, and it's very possible that God may lead you somewhere else, mm-hmm. but it probably won't happen right this moment,
right.
today. You're here right now. What can I do now? Don't wait. 'Cause really, if you're doing the wrong things here and you go somewhere else, some of those problems are going to follow you.
Isn't that the truth?
So start where you're. Don't be talked out of all this because you feel like you're in the wrong place. Start now. God will help you get in the right place, but get in motion right where you are.
That's really good. Even if it's a small step, it might be a little thing. It at least gets us down the path.
Yes.
Wow, Greg, this is really amazing. So I really want to encourage all of you to download this free book that Greg is talking about. And Greg, if someone wants to connect with you, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Go to my website. There's several ways, podcast, YouTube, daily TV, free articles. There's streaming videos. There's all kinds of things. But the website's the hub. So, you know, for podcast people, for YouTube people, they can all go there and find their preferred delivery system.
That's good. So it's gregfritz.org.
Mm-hmm.
So go to gregfritz.org and you'll be totally blessed. I just feel really encouraged from this conversation. I really like, Greg, how you share content because it's in a way that is empowering. And it's not like, you know, you need to do this. It's just with such grace. So I just really appreciate you being on the Wealth Builders podcast.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. And it helps me to kind of get in front of new people. I love that.
Yes. Well, you'll come back sometime, right?
Yeah, sure.
Good.
Yeah,
so we'll see Greg again. And I just want to let you know that we've got a really great event coming up at Wealth Builders. It's the first time we have ever done this. It's called Vacation Rentals for Profit and Fun. And it is an actual intensive seminar. So usually we have three-day workshops. This is just a one evening Friday for those of you that would choose the VIP. It's a very small group. And we're doing this with Bill Bronchek. And it's going to be all about vacation rentals. So if that's something you want to learn more about or you want to be a part of this event, again, we have a very limited number of people that we're going to have at this event. Go to wealthbuilders.org/events. So Greg, do you have any final words for our audience today?
Well, you know, time is short. And even if Jesus doesn't come back in our lifetime, you just have one life to live. And my desire for your audience, my audience, mm-hmm. is that, you know what? We do the will of God.
So
just
good.
Do what God's called you to do and make your life count.
That's so great. Thanks again. And again, to find out more about Greg and where he's going to be, check out his shows, go to gregfritt.org. Thank you for being a part of the Wealth Builders family and for joining us today. God bless you and make it a great rest of the day.